Today, we're going to introduce the David Mitchell of 12th Hour. Plus, Kelly Chevy Chain Congregation outside of 12th Hour, Liverpool, Texas. Today is April 29, 2017, or is this 3, 2021. We will start our second service on the side of David's song entitled Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, careful the dying. Cast them in pity from sin and their grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Yahshua the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Though they are smiting him, still he is waiting, waiting the death and the child to receive. Lead with him earnestly, lead with him gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feeling the dormant that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, hearts that are broken will falter once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Wait for the labor the Yah will provide. Active in a narrow way, patiently render. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save.
Part 10, Gentiles, Acts chapter 20. Right, it says, Paul goes to Macedonia, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, it says that, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of the day, so he departed. Verse 12, And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mytilene, and we sailed thence, and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Trogilum, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of the Pentecost. So Paul charged to the elders of Ephesus, and from Miletus he sent unto Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Yahweh with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both unto the Jews and also unto the Greeks, repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward our Savior Yahshua the Messiah. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with the joy and with the ministry that I have received of Yahshua Messiah, for the testifying of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way by the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I added all of that last part. To testify the gospel of the grace of the Yahweh. Yahweh spelled it out through the law of Moses, called the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what it was. That was the thing that Moses had. The plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It was just portrayed by the animal blood in the old covenant time, until Yahshua broke down the middle wall of partition between the old and the new, Ephesians 2:15, and brought in the new and living way. By that is to say, by his own blood, through the blood of sprinkling. And that's in Hebrews 12:22-24 as well. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of the Yahweh shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of the Yahweh. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of Yahweh, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with the tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and unto them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Yeshua Messiah, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cush. And the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up unto Jerusalem? And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came unto Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day we that were at Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of the But let Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. I'm in chapter 21, verse 9 now. I guess I didn't announce chapter 21. If I did, I don't remember it, so I'm so engrossed in this subject of Paul going unto them Gentiles and the miracles that are taking place, showing that we have to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit before we can go and have a healing ministry. And with our healing ministry comes conversion to the kingdom, folks. It all goes together. And the same man that had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girl, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem, for the name of Yahshua Messiah. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Yahshua be done. Paul apprehended in Jerusalem, verse 15, and after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went we with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them Menason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things Yahweh had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified Yahweh and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of the Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, and they are all informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. What is it therefore? The multitudes must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be it charged with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered unto idols, and from blood, and from strangle, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law. And this place and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Now all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating up to Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came up on the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him! Paul speaks in his defense. And as the Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of the Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Okay, now that's the end of chapter 21. Let's go right on into chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue unto them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am born a Jew in Tarsus, a city in the Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according unto the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward Yahweh as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went unto Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Master? And he said unto me, I am Yeshua of the Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Master? Yeshua. And Yeshua said unto him, And he arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which that dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The Yahweh of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and to see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of Yeshua. And it came to pass that when I was come again unto Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of the tent of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. That's Yeshua told me. And I said, Yeshua, they know that I am prisoned and beaten every synagogue of them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of him that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Okay, so that's where we're going today. Guess what? You're going unto the Gentiles. They gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with the thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him, of which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Paul before the council, verse 30, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused, as a Jew, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and sit him before them. Okay, that ends chapter 22. Acts chapter 23 starts with verse 1. And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, Yahweh shall smite thee, thou whitest wall, for thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary unto the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou Yahweh's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that it was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken unto him, let us not fight against Yahweh. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, of them commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by the force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Yahshua stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye are with the council, signify unto the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him, and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain, and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire some of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things unto thee. And he called unto him two centurions and said, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen, 70, and spearmen, 200, at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter after this matter, and Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I proceeded to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bond. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway unto thee, and gave commandment unto his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the council, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle unto the governor, presented Paul also before him. When the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. End of chapter 23. Let's go right on into chapter 24. Paul before Felix. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed their governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according unto our law. But the chief captain came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hand, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining, of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. And Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they now that found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward Yahweh, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward Yahweh and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object, if they had aught against me, or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called and questioned by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in the Yeshua. And as he reasoned of the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. End of chapter 24. Okay. Chapter 25 of Acts. Verse 1. Paul before Festus. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea unto Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him unto Jerusalem, laying wait in a way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all? But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up unto Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at the Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. Unto the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. After certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king's son. There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, unto whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. Before that, he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man that he brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Yahshua which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him unto Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear me, or hear him. And on tomorrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp and were was entered into the place of the hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, as Festus commanded, Paul was brought forth. And Festus says, King Agrippa, and all men of which are here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. And when I found that he had committed nothing wrong of death, and that he himself had appeared unto Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my master, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specifically before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Paul before Agrippa, chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Saul, Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, specifically because I know thee to be expert in all custom and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Yahweh unto our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving Yahweh day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought as a thing incredible with you that Yahweh should raise the dead? I've really thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of the Yahshua of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, had received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme and be exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even under strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O King, I saw in the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, and who was that voice speaking? That was Yeshua. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Yeshua? And he said, I am Yeshua whom thou persecuted. Actually, he didn't know who it was. So he said, Who art thou, a master? But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things that thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, and delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto Yahweh, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then unto the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn unto Yahweh, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of the Yahweh, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Yahshua should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Let's read that again. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, or better yet, a believer in the truth. And Paul said, I would to Elohim that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone about aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. End of chapter 26 of Acts. Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entered into a ship of the time, we launched meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go and to his friends to refresh him. Acts 27, verse 4. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Mara, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Sinaitis, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon, and hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, and the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tremendous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sir, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of Yahweh, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, Yahweh hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe Yahweh, that it shall be given, or it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. The ship runs aground, verse 27 of Acts 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near unto some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and sounded 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, and the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and unto the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks unto Yahweh in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. Okay, that would be 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek by the shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore, and falling into a certain where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel were to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. End of chapter 27, and we are also end of our service for this hour. And we're ended on 57 minutes. Okay. So let us close now with a song. Ivory Palaces. As your has gone so wondrous fine, and note that texture fills his fragrance rich to this heart of mine. With your head loving through, out of the ivory palace, into a world of woe, on his great eternal love, then the Savior go. His life had also its sorrow sore, for others had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, the as if teardrops start, out of the ivory palace, into a world of woe, only his great eternal to put in Cassiadip with feeling in a tar. This time my fate in some sinner's lap, fate's hurt me from this lot. Out of the ivory palace, into a world of war, only his great eternal law may us Savior go. And John's glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly hall in prayer forevermore. Out of the ivory palace, into a world of war, only his great eternal love